Taking my sin. Serve the Lord, maybe you might feel you hate your brother, your sister, go out and testify.
Amen.
You feel good. I really thank the brothers for that. We shouldn't wait for those times to go testify. We should do it on our own.
Amen.
Should always be. Yes, we do. I do testify to people as much as you can, but when you do it like that, how the Lord Jesus Christ said, go two by two.
Amen.
You know, I mean, even the clampers, they beat us. The clampers, they go two by two. But we can't even go. Amen.
Amen.
And I thank Brother Orel. It was really good because there's some very powerful ideas. He was telling me on the way back. He said, oh, brother, your voice, you see, you need to get a small speaker. Then between the songs, what you need to do, you can play the message. I said, wow, that's brilliant. That was really good. Play some music. You know, then you can talk to people. You see the brother sitting in the back there, you think, ah, the brother does. But he was very, he gave me so many ideas yesterday. I said, wow, brother, that's some serious stuff.
Yes.
It was so nice going and coming back. I really thank the Lord. It was such a blessed time. And I say to encourage, I'm not saying it, it's to provoke, yes, as well.
Amen.
But I'm also saying thank you to the brothers, because we have to give credit. Thanks to Brother Wilmore, Brother Eli, the pastor, those brothers that keep going, even when I don't want to go. You see, but I'll be there from now. No worry, I'll always be there. Even when the brothers are not there, I might even go with Brother Eric as well, because I like it. It was very nice. It was so good. I'd like to sing this song, because Jesus is so much love. Amen. People just don't know who Jesus is, oh, what he's done for man. They just believe all the lies that Satan tells, but he blinds them from God's plan. But we know who Christ is. That why we shout, we praise. Praise the Lord in the highest, His grace and the love like this. Jesus is so much love. Jesus is so much love. Jesus is so much love, oh, so much love to me. My Jesus is all of love, He's a cup of love, and what's the same for you? Won't you let it? Traded his scepter for a shepherd's staff.
when he left his glorious throne to come and set them by his mercy. He took the body parts all alone, then he descended into a pit. His lost love liberated, and he deep were in and set free to wait for eternity. Jesus is so much love. Jesus is so much love. Jesus is so much love. Oh, so much love to me. My Jesus is all of love. He's a agape love and was the same. Who thought that he was there for bread? So he offered him more than a man would want. But Jesus wasn't on things that stand. For with Christ, one little lost soul is with all of this life's gold. So he wipes the sweat from his brow. When he's tried, the Lord he don't bow. Jesus is so much love. Jesus is so much love. Jesus is so much love. Oh, me. My Jesus is all of love. He's a God of love and wants the same for you if you let him be. The rich young ruler one day met the Christ, seeking for to find eternal life. Had lots of good secular from his youth, but yet lacking the truth. For when Christ spoke to him that day, he sadly turned and walked away. Too much self he had answered. For itself, though it never shares. Jesus is so much love. Jesus is so much love. Jesus is so much love. Oh, so much love to me. Soul of love, he's the God of love, and wants the same for you. Won't you let it be? Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let's see. Sorry for my voice. I gave it to the Lord yesterday. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song. Let's sing one song and then we'll get into change of service. Let's just sing maybe wonderful, wonderful. Those choruses. Amen. Jesus is to me. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is here. me pass the outer courts. Amen. I like what that lady said yesterday. She said, I was sitting over there and I could hear the music. See, she said, I could hear the music. So I thought, let me go and see what's going on. And she came, her name was April. And she started asking. So the importance of music. When you hear sitting here and you see someone crying, you feel like crying because you say, wow. You know, it's the power of music, saints. But you have to be one with God. Amen. Take me past the outer court, to that holy place, past the praising altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowd of people and the priests who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst on your righteousness. That it's all divine in your presence. Oh, take me to the holy of holies.
Take me, Jesus.
Take me by the blood of the Lamb. Take me to the holy of holies.
Take me, Jesus.
Take the cold. Take the cold and silence. Here I am.
We enter in now.
We enter in to the temple.
Into the temple, Jesus.
Give thanks to the ancient.
Ancient of days.
To our reign. For His mercy is unto us. Precious faith. Want to thank you, Father, for all that you do for us.
Yes, Lord.
How we just want to come before you upon this day. Want to thank you for our baptism service. Want to thank you, Lord, Father, for what you're doing in the hearts of people.
Hallelujah.
Father and Lord, even as we thank you for past mercies. Father, we know that they're just a foretaste of things to come. But because you've been so mindful of us, Father, we know that you have good things in store for us.
Amen.
So we come to get ourselves out the way this day, just want to yield ourselves unto thee.
Amen.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have the prayer. Father, move and work in your own mysterious way. That as we come to the end of the service, each and every one of us would say, surely the Lord was in this place.
Amen.
that you bless us, Lord, from the beginning to the end. Help us, wash us and cleanse us, quicken us.
Amen.
Anoint us for your glory.
Amen.
Them that will hear and them that will speak. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. It's wonderful to come to a baptism service today. Really do appreciate it. Let's open our Bibles. I think the radio has been announced. We're going to do a picture of our visitors here in Pauline. And Father, God bless you richly.
Amen.
God bless you in our midst. Today we've come for a happy occasion. We've come because Brother Greg, Brother Thomas, their mother is going to receive a new name today. She's no more going to be their mother. She's going to be Sister Halina. From today. So
hallelujah.
Let's open Matthew chapter 3. There's a bit of an echo there on the mic. Matthew chapter 3. Let's read from verse 13. This is the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read down to chapter 4, verse 1. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered it. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him.
Hallelujah.
And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints. Now, if you have a look at Jesus' baptism, you know, we all know it from the message, the principle of the lamb and the dove. Now, this is an unfailing principle, the lamb and the dove. You know, if you find when Jesus was baptized, the most important thing, if you're going to be baptized, is you want to have a testimony in your baptism like Jesus had. But there was a twofold testimony. First of all, when Jesus was baptized, the dove descended upon him.
Yes.
The Spirit of God descended like a dove. And secondly, there was a voice. There was a divine witness that this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, if you think about Jesus, if he, at this stage in his baptism, if he never received this blessing, that the dove never came upon what he was doing, imagine how ill-equipped he was going to be for chapter 4, verse 1, when he went to be tempted in the wilderness.
Amen.
You know, so that's why baptism in itself, you know, it's not just the act of going in the water, because Jesus going in the water didn't empower him.
Amen.
But it was his willingness to fulfill all righteousness.
Amen.
You know, it was his attitude. And the most important thing, in order for the dove to come upon him, it was his nature. It was his nature when he went into the waters of baptism. Baptism didn't change Jesus' nature.
Amen.
Water has no power to change your nature.
Amen.
But Jesus was a lamb when he went into the waters of baptism. And because he was a lamb, the dove could now come down upon him.
Amen.
Because there's got to be a compatibility of natures. There are many people in the Old Testament on whom the Spirit descended but never remained.
Yes.
People like Samson, you know, they could get the anointing upon them. They could do great exploits. They could put themselves in the hands of the Lord for a season, but they could never keep the Spirit upon them.
Amen.
But John the Baptist testified, and he says, "The one I was told that the one on whom I see the Spirit descend and remain, he is the one." And that's what we desire, friends.
Amen.
You really desire the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, when you're baptized in water as an evidence, a testimony of a clear conscience with God. You know, as you come now to give a public testimony of something that's already taken place inside of you. Now, what good does it all do if there's no witness from heaven? You know, I mean, if the heavens are not opened to you in your baptism, what's the point of it? You know, you don't just want to go and be baptized and then there's no divine witness. But the purpose of baptism, the purpose of
ordained, fulfilling our righteousness is to receive this divine witness.
Amen.
Is to receive this dove that comes down from above. You know, in the message Snow White Dove, it's so wonderful how the prophet really gets onto that. You know, when he speaks about it, when he speaks about the principle of the lamb and the dove. Now, this is a principle which really helps you to discern between so many things in our age. You know, there's anointed ones at the end time, there's false Christ, there's anointed people, there's false prophets, people that are anointed but their message is not a scriptural message. There's people that can do great signs and wonders, but you know, it's all just a deception. You know, there's people that will say, Lord, Lord, did we not preach in your name? You know, did we not cast out devils and all that? Will say, depart from me, I never knew.
Amen.
And this message of the lamb and the dove really brings it down to what it's supposed to be. No, because in order for the dove to descend and remain, in order for you and I to be properly equipped to overcome, in order for us to be able to be what we're supposed to be as the sons and daughters of God, it requires a change of nature.
Amen.
We can receive the anointing, but the anointing doesn't change your nature.
Amen.
It's the new birth that changes your
nature.
Because you can have the anointing come down on somebody who never had a changed nature. We've seen it time and time and time again. You see people like Balaam in the Bible. You know, we see so many Caiaphas, the high priest, he prophesied. You know, so there's so many instances of people that the Spirit would come down upon them because of their office or their position which they held. But the Spirit couldn't remain. And they never could receive the full testimony. They could never go all the way. Because they're missing this element that in order for the dove to descend and remain, you've got to be a lamb. And you've got to remain as a lamb. The dove was never going to come down on Jesus if he wasn't the Lamb of God. You know, and the Lord God is so great in the way that he chooses the symbols and the shadows and the types. When he chooses the symbol to represent himself as the Lord of heaven, he chooses the dove. You know, if you really think about it, just this week, Dan had to do a project at school about birds. So I said, go study the dove. And the dove is an incredible bird when you study it.
Amen.
You know, exactly like the prophet says here when he speaks about it, he says the dove is the most clean bird that we have. And the lamb is the most meek of all the animals that we have. They're both sacrificial. You know, so a lamb was a sacrificial beast, a dove, a turtle dove, a pigeon, the same family. They were sacrificial animals. And you will see that. Now you will see it in the life of somebody. The moment that you get out of the Spirit, the moment your nature changes, you'll see it in the life of a person, they're no more sacrificial. They lose that aspect. But anybody who's in the Spirit, you know, to have the meekness of a lamb is willing to give up all of its wool without kicking and fussing.
Right.
You can take a lamb and lay it down and shear off all the wool, and it lays like Isaiah 53, as a sheep before her shearers. It was done. He was done. He opened not his mouth. It won't protest in that kind of a way. And that's one way you can really judge where you are in your Christian life. Not by what people say about you.
Right.
Not by all these other things that can take place. But when you're in the Spirit, when the dove is really roosting inside of you, the genuine Holy Ghost has found his abode, you are going to be sacrificial.
Amen.
Yeah, it's a willingness to lay things aside. It's a willingness to sacrifice.
Amen.
Just because of the nature that's inside of you.
Amen.
And the Spirit that's governing that nature inside of you.
Yes.
And you can always assess yourself. You know, when you get to the stage in your experience that you just think about yourself. And that life is all about you. And everything must rotate about you. And why didn't they do this? And why didn't this person do that? Now you've got out of the whole essence of what it's about, as we said on Friday night. You've lost the very essence of what genuine Christianity is about.
Amen.
Genuine Christianity is you want to retain inside of yourself, inside of the inner man, the nature that is compatible with this heavenly nature of the devil.
Amen.
Because he's the one that makes all the difference.
Yes.
Yes. Even without Him, there's nothing that we can do.
Hallelujah.
You and I can never say anything of any benefit to anyone without the anointing of the dove. You and I, you know, we need the leadership of the dove to go the right way. We need the presence of the dove to understand His word.
Amen.
And everything which we desire to do and to be as Christians, without the dove, without the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost in the soul, we can never be what we're supposed to be. Or we can be kinds of people that the dove descends and then it's not there for long. You know, because you have a certain attitude, you have a certain approach, a certain submission at a certain time, and then you lose it and you want to take control of your life once again. You want to be in control of things. And you find the dove, it takes its flight and can't stay in that kind of an atmosphere because it takes the atmosphere of the nature that's produced by a nature. Because your soul gives off a certain fragrance. Your soul gives off a certain atmosphere. It gives off a certain, you know, there's a something around a person that comes from the soul of a person. And you can tell somebody when they've been with Jesus.
You
just come into the presence of a person and there's a refreshing. You know, you're like it types of like the fragrance of, you know, the lilies of the flowers in the early morning when the dew is on the fields. And you come out in the stillness of the morning and there's that freshness. That's like somebody who's come into the presence of Christ.
Amen.
You know, the dove has come and they've had fellowship inside of their soul. And their soul is bringing forth this fragrance. Paul speaks of it as a fragrance of life unto life.
Amen.
You know, it's a fragrance of life to those that are dead to life, and it's a fragrance of death to those that are dead not to death. But there's a fragrance that comes forth. And friend, it's that aroma that we desire inside of our lives.
Amen.
It's that aroma that comes from that nature of the land. If you've been around Jesus, and we know it because we're around Him spiritually speaking.
That's right.
But you can imagine what it was like to be around Jesus. People have to be around Jesus. They wanted to bring their children to be around Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus wasn't hard. He was only hard when He needed to be hard.
Amen.
He only was hard to the people that should have known better.
That's
when
right.
He plaited the ropes and He whipped them out of the temple.
Hallelujah.
They should have known better.
Yeah.
But to the common people who didn't know better, they love to be with Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And the song says about Jesus, the friend of sinners, the sinner's friend.
Amen.
You know, somebody who's approachable and somebody that you feel comfortable to be with. Somebody that you can sympathize. Somebody that you can understand.
Amen.
Friend, those are the characteristics of the lamb and the dove.
Amen.
You know, but the conditions of this day, like we said on Friday, it's not conducive for you to stay in that kind of a condition.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are a twofold being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, inside of yourself, if you're a genuine believer, inside of your soul, the seed that's inside of you, if you've received the new birth, you've got the nature of a lamb. That's what you've got. The new birth produces the nature of Christ.
Amen.
The lamb.
Amen.
You know, so when He reveals Himself to you, the revelation of Jesus Christ, it does something. There's something that was dormant inside of you right from the days of your youth.
Amen.
Because remember, Jesus was always the Lamb.
Yeah, that's right.
And the sons and daughters of God were always the sons and daughters of God.
Mm-hmm.
But that capacity, that potential, that seed was always in you. But it took the revelation of Jesus Christ, it took His visitation, His revelation, His light, His water to fall upon that seed for that seed to start to come to life. And that's why it was natural inside of you that the moment you received Christ, when He revealed Himself to you, there was a nature that started to express itself.
That
was contrary to the nature that you were born with, which is the nature of the outward man, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, coming into this world stricken light. But you're always going to be that twofold being. You're going to have this outward nature. He's never going to be a lamb. You're going to have to keep Him subject to the nature of the lamb. You're going to have to keep dominion over Him. If you allow Him dominion, you're going to lose your temper. You're going to be impatient. You're going to say things you're going to regret later. You're going to do things you're going to regret later. But when you allow the inside man to have the preeminence, when you now allow your soul, which has been quickened by the dove, when the dove comes down upon that soul, you know, takes its roots there, there's a virtue, there's a power and an essence within the veil that expresses itself in the life of Christ, that expresses itself. That's why he said to Billy Paul, he says, the problems you're having in your home, if you will allow that Holy Ghost that is in you to express Himself,
amen,
you
amen.
Won't have these problems
amen.
Anymore.
Amen.
But you've got to allow him to have the remnant. Mm. You know, you've got to desire to say that I desire him to descend and remain. You know, I don't want this outward man to have the remnant, because the moment you lose the attitude of being a lamb inside of your life, the moment that you want to take up your own rights, no, it's your time, it's your money, it's your life, it's your ambitions that overrule his ambitions for you. Mm-mm. You lose something straight away, and everybody knows that you lose something. No, you like we were saying on Friday, you don't lose your professional faith. No, you can still quote the word, you can still be about his service, but you lose a certain essence that you have.
Amen.
That's something which is that precious something that makes life worth living.
Amen.
And that's the dove inside of your experience.
Amen.
But friend, it doesn't take much to grieve him.
Amen.
Grieve not the Spirit of God by which you are sealed unto
him. Amen.
It's very easy to grieve him because the dove is the meekest of all of the birds.
Amen.
You know, it's so gentle, a dove, the cooing of a dove.
Mm.
There's something blessed about it.
Amen.
And the lamb is the gentlest, the meekest of the animals.
Amen.
And that's why God represented himself in those two things. Amen. And that is the real reason why we go through barren times in our experience. No, we will lose fellowship with Christ the way we had it before. We lose fellowship with one another. No, we lose the reality of what we had before. This is the principle, praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's why he gives us the message, the church and its condition. And he's speaking about the lamb and the dove. You know, once you give your ear to gossip, once you say something unkind, remember that book, Azusa Street, and I quoted it before Barclay, when he said on Azusa Street, he says, the Holy Ghost in those days wouldn't even allow us to speak an unkind thought against somebody.
Amen.
But the moment you would think something unkind, and you know it yourself,
that's right,
something checks you inside.
Amen.
You lose a certain something that you had, you realize that it wasn't right.
Amen.
You know, so how backslidden must we be to be able to speak openly? Yeah, like I said, we may still be able to quote all the quotes, and we may be able to talk the talk, but you know, the witness of our own lives, the witness of the atmosphere that's around us is a very serious thing. Because we've lost something in here. Now that's what he's explaining here. And he says that, he says, did you notice the dove led the lamb? So when the dove came, chapter 4, verse 1, the dove led him into the wilderness. You know, so that's being led of the dove. But no, because the dove is sacrificial and the lamb is sacrificial, the dove's not going to lead you to an easy life.
No.
We all want the easy life. Your own nature wants the easy life. But the dove led him straight into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil.
Amen.
To be tested.
Yes.
And he's going to continue to lead you into testing times, into testing things. And that's why, if when you're baptized, or as soon as you can after you're baptized, you don't receive this genuine experience which brings the new birth inside of you. So if you don't receive the something that Jesus received, the wilderness will find you out. It doesn't take long in the lives of people that people get baptized in water, but because they're not baptized by the Spirit, the wilderness finds them out. No, they perish in the wilderness like Israel coming out of Egypt. You don't want it to be like that.
No,
this is the armor that he gives to a believer to equip you and empower you to overcome the temptation of the devil. When the devil comes and his threefold temptation, then the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, no money, woman, popularity, whatever you want to call it, you'll never be able to overcome these things in yourself.
Yes. That's right.
It's not your good intentions. It's not how much you desire to be. It's not him that wills or him that runs, but it's he that showeth mercy.
Amen.
It's not by power, it's not by might, but it's
Amen.
By my Spirit, says
yes.
the Lord.
Amen.
You know, without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're never going to get far.
Amen.
You'll never get far. You'll be a believer, but in name only.
Amen.
You'll never be an overcomer, but the promises are to the overcomer.
Amen.
And that's why it's so important to study the Lord Jesus Christ. He would never himself go to face up to this temptation of the devil in his own strength, though he was the Lamb of God.
Amen.
He went to fulfill all righteousness, and he needed this empowerment. He needed this armor. He needed the dove to come down upon him, this quickening power to equip him now, so that he could go and Be tempted, be tested of the devil.
Amen.
And if you remember when you looked at the threefold temptation, when it says that Jesus was tempted, tested of the devil, that word means to test the motive, to test the essence, the very nature of something. So it wasn't his anointing that was being tested. No. The Holy Ghost wasn't being tempted or tested. It was Jesus being tested.
That's right.
It's not the anointing that's being tested, but the devil's going to come and test what's within the veil. What is your motive? What is your objective? What is the real inside life inside of you? That's what the wilderness brings out around you. It shows what's really within the veil. Now you find young people that come from different places, they go to different places. And maybe when they're back in their home church where they can serve the Lord and they seem to do well, then they go somewhere else. All of a sudden in a different environment, they have some liberty now. Where they don't have the constraints of their family, don't have constraints of the people maybe they grew up with. And you start to find them developing habits and the way they'll speak to girls and the way they'll conduct themselves when believers are
on them.
My friend, it's your testing time.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the real test of who you are. Because who you really are is displayed not when people are watching you, but when no one's watching you, but them. That really shows who you are.
Amen.
Yeah, that's really the characteristic that we desire as believers. We really, really want that genuine something. He says, where did the dove lead him? To crucifixion. And friend, the genuine Spirit of God inside of your life is going to lead you one place, and that's to take up your cross.
That's right.
Because if the devil led Jesus to crucifixion, which was his purpose.
Amen.
He was born to die so we can live.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost led him straight to take up your cross.
Amen.
It wasn't easy. He had to sweat in Gethsemane. He had to sweat great drops as it were of blood.
Amen.
He had to overcome himself.
Right.
He had to come to a stage that, Father, not my will, but thy will be done.
Amen.
My friend, the Spirit's not going to lead you the easy way. This is a narrow way that is going to lead you. So when you come to the waters of baptism, you're testifying to us that I have decided to follow Jesus.
Amen.
I've decided to be his disciple. I've decided to take up his cross and I'm going to follow him.
Amen.
The cross before me, the world behind me.
Amen.
Though no one join me, still I will follow.
Hallelujah.
Friend, but the wilderness is going to test our profession.
Amen.
Now when we led now into the wilderness, and many times the Lord allows these temptations to come upon us, and it may be a measure, because it's the grace of God.
Hallelujah.
He wants to show you that you're not really who you think that you are.
Yes.
He wants to show you that you're not really as advanced as you really thought that you were. So before you cripple yourself up or mar your testimony, he's going to allow you to go through certain things to show you the real state and condition of who you are inside of your soul. And that is the grace of God.
Amen.
Because as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
Amen.
Be zealous, therefore, and repent, he says. That's the grace of as many as I love. No son, no daughter comes to God but is chastised by him. Corrected, child trained.
Amen.
God doesn't want us to have fool's gold.
Amen. Amen.
He wants us to have the genuine article.
Amen.
So if you're trusting anything in our experience which is not the real thing, he can't afford as his sons and daughters to leave it like that.
Amen.
He's got to bring us to a place and we realize what he already knows.
Amen.
And we don't have what it takes.
Mm.
I always give the testimony of that man who came up to me burnt at the stake and really spoke to me that time in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Yeah, and he thought in his profession that he was okay, and then when it came the day to him to be burnt at the stake, and he saw what the rage of the flames really did to the human being that was pulling those flames, he said, "I can't, man. I can't burn." And then the priest came to him wanting him to recant. He says, "No, just leave me alone." Then he got down on his knees and he prayed.
Amen.
Such an agonizing prayer.
Hallelujah.
Because he realized at this hour when he needed it most, something needed to kick in, but it hadn't kicked in.
Amen.
And then when he prayed and something changed inside of his soul, and then he got up and says, "I can do it. I can."
Amen.
Amen.
And my friend, it's not by your power.
Yeah.
It's not by your might. It's not your wisdom. It's not your education. There's nothing that's going to equip you to get to the end of this journey except for this divine armor. This equipment that God has to put inside of every one of his sons and daughters to equip us for any temptation.
Amen.
A spirit-filled believer is more than a match for the devil in any situation. Any situation that may come. But no matter how great your experiences of the past, you know you've got to keep relying upon him.
Amen.
I remember when he was in the wilderness and he said, I'm too good a guide to be lost.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then he was on the death walk and then he had to get down on his knees and say, Lord, I thought I was a guide, but I'm nothing without you.
Amen.
And then when he did that, then the guide could take control once
again.
And friend, it's that outside man that we've got to keep on overcoming. But he's going to lead you to take up your cross.
Yes.
And Jesus told us to take up the cross daily.
Yes.
He said, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to take up your cross daily.
Yes.
You've got to die to yourself. Friend, the cross takes no prisoners.
Yes.
The cross has no compromise. The cross speaks of death to self. It's death to self on the cross.
Amen.
And he's going to keep putting us in situations like that. Nothing happens to a believer by chance.
That's right.
Nothing. That's one of the most important principles I ever learned.
Amen.
God is behind every move. He's testing the reaction to an action. I've said that so many times, but our human nature, God can allow situations to arise in church, situations to arise in your family, situations to arise all around you, where you will look at those situations and you'll say it. This isn't the way that it's supposed to be. You want to put blame on other people for that situation.
Amen.
But you're failing to discern the most important thing.
Amen.
Is that God has allowed that situation to come inside of your life to test you.
Yes. Amen.
That's what it's for. It's not an accident. It's not a misfortune. If things aren't going the way that you think that they should, my friend, look in the mirror first.
Amen.
Go and say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me here? Because the Spirit leads you into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. What for?
Amen.
To show the weaknesses inside of you.
Amen.
To bring us to be more dependent upon him.
Amen.
To show us those chinks in the armor. Those places in the ark where we haven't put the pitch in properly. Where there can be leaks when it comes in the midst of the journey. And God is never going to ever leave you and I as his sons and daughters to go to the greater temptations, the greater trials, without first taking us through things so that we start to understand the greatness of our need for him. And start to understand how much we need to keep ourselves under the blood, behind the word. We've got to do it. And that's why he takes us and says, take up your cross and follow me. And as our sister's baptized today, that's her profession before us. She's saying, I've decided to follow Jesus. And from today, I take up my cross. From today, my life is not my own. I'm going to make my mistakes, but now I belong to him.
Amen.
I'm not of my own. I'm bought with a price.
Amen.
That's the testimony.
Amen.
Then he says, you know, the characteristic of a dove. He says, all other birds have to take a bath. But you know, a dove doesn't have to. No. He's got some kind of an oil on the inside of him that oils him and keeps him clean.
Amen.
Now this is why you need the devil.
Yes.
Because you don't want to always have to be coerced inside of your life to make things right.
No.
You don't want to have outside pressure all the time. Your parents telling you, you shouldn't watch those things. You shouldn't read those things. You shouldn't be spending your time doing this. Those friends aren't good for you. When the dove has come and taken his roost, dove has the capacity and the believer has the nature of the dove.
Amen.
That you have oil that comes from the inside.
Amen.
You cleanse from the inside.
That's right.
He is the one who cleanses you.
Amen.
You don't need other people always to be telling you, stop doing this, stop doing that.
Amen.
No, the testimony of your own experience. And when you get quiet before the Lord, when you go and yield yourself once again, there's something that works from the inside.
Amen.
And you see it for yourself that, I shouldn't be wasting my time like this.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be doing these kind of things. Yeah? These things are defiling me. These things are taking me from what I'm supposed to be.
Amen.
You know, the dove has the capacity to be cleansed from the inside.
Amen.
There's a certain oil, the oil of the Spirit, And that oil gives off a fragrance. If you ever smell a dove, there's that fragrance of that oil that keeps him clean. But imagine if you don't have that in your experience. And then you're a young person, you go to college in another country and whatever. You defile yourself as sure as the world. But this gives you the capacity to be like Daniel. To be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you will purpose in yourself. No one will have to tell you, but you will get to a place and there will be things offered you to defile you. Things which are contrary, incompatible with the kingdom that you claim that you are part of. But you are resolved inside of yourself. You are determined, like Daniel inside of yourself. I'm not going to defile myself.
Amen.
You won't do it in an arrogant way. He didn't do it in an arrogant way, Daniel. He won favor with the man. He spoke to the man. Please, let us eat other things. But friend, there's that something inside of you that will never be satisfied with compromise.
Amen.
And that's why when you baptize, you want to make sure that there's the dove. That there's this witness from heaven. That the heavens are open and something descends into your spirit.
Amen.
And remains there because you're going to need it every day of your life.
Amen.
There's going to come times when you're a young man and the pretty girl with the eyes, yeah? You know, she's going to try to tempt you there. She's trying to get you to defile yourself. Not to break the word.
Amen.
My friend, is going to have to be something that kicks in from the inside.
Amen.
Of you. Amen. Amen. You don't want it to be that kind of a Christian life that's always afterwards you make him right. Can you pray for me? I did this. We can't be all wrong. We can't make a mistake. Don't get me wrong. You feed the outside man long enough, he's going to have the
blessing.
He's going to take control and you're going to do things you're going to regret. But you prefer to be something working from the inside. There's something that purifies you from within.
Amen.
That you know, all I've got to do here is get myself quiet before the Lord.
Amen.
If I can just get myself and pray here, this situation's going to change.
Yes.
Amen.
At the moment you get yourself, temptation will come. Friend, what is the scriptural prescription for temptation? If any is afflicted, if any is tempted, let him pray.
Amen.
That's what the scripture says. If any is temptation, how do you overcome temptation?
Amen.
You get yourself on your knees and pray. That's where warfare is waged. That's where spiritual warfare. But my friend, if there's no dove in your experience, if there's no quickening power in your prayer, then you'll soon tire of
prayer. Yes.
You'll find there's nothing that kicks in at that time to give you preeminence over that temptation.
Mm.
That's why it says we don't even know how to pray as we want, Paul said. It says, but it's the dove in us, the dove working for us. He gives us prayer to pray. He quickens us so that we pray according to the will of God. And you realize it yourself, the longer you go as a Christian, the more you need it.
Yeah,
the more pressure comes in your life, the more you need Him. The more tempting things become, those tempting seasons of life, you realize you need Him more. You can never go far without His prayer. Your sins will find you out. Your weaknesses will find you out. Your old human nature will overcome you down the way. That's how we're speaking to the sister being baptized, saying that water has no power in and itself. The water doesn't give you power to overcome. It's the new blood. That's when Jesus reveals Himself to your soul. And you lay your soul upon the altar. And you submit and you say, "Oh, to Jesus, I surrender."
Hallelujah.
And then there's a witness, the dove descends now upon the sacrifice. That's what makes the difference.
Amen.
And nothing else makes the difference. Nothing does.
Amen.
Because when the dove is within, when He's within the veil, as we've said many times, God never desired to be the other side of the veil.
Mm-hmm.
When God is the other side of the veil, that's Old Testament worship. Like we said many times, when they would come to Jerusalem, we went to Jerusalem. You go to that place, the closest place to the most holy place. It's such an anointed spot up to today.
Amen.
As you're getting nearer and nearer, you can sense His presence
Amen.
Getting deeper and deeper.
Amen.
Because under that covenant, He placed His name in that place.
Amen.
You know, so you'll find somebody that commits some kind of sin that come from maybe, you know, Hebron, wherever it is. You know, that come with their sacrifice, and every step they would take towards Jerusalem was a step closer to His presence.
Mm. Yeah.
And as they would come to Jerusalem, they'd feel His presence more. As they'd ascend up the temple, the steps to the Temple Mount, they would really start coming to His presence. As they'd come to the brazen altar, His presence would be more intense. And in his presence, they would feel victorious.
Amen.
And they would offer the prescribed sacrifice. The blood would be mixed up in the coals on the brazen altar, go up as a pleasing savor before the Lord. And the Lord would look through the bloody smoke of the worshiper. The person would be justified of this thing. And in his presence, all the guilt would be gone. No, the burden would be gone. The person would feel like traveling on. They'd feel like a victor. But the problem with that kind of worship is every step they took now leaving Jerusalem was a step away from that presence.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That victorious presence, that presence that took away condemnation, that presence that would give you victory over that situation.
Amen.
And as they had now leave Jerusalem, they'd be leaving that presence behind. Why? Because he was within the veil. There was a veil between them and the very thing which they needed, which was the Shekinah presence. And that's like worshippers now, where God is behind somebody else's veil. You'll find the Father in the home, the priest of the home, the Shekinah is behind the veil. You know, so while he's in the home, the atmosphere is different. You know, the children, they realize that, hey, you know, whenever I'm at home, you know, things are under control. You know, I'm not really that tempted to watch this or read that or do something else. But the moment they leave that physical locality,
amen,
when God is dwelling
behind
the veil, each step they take they're taken away from the presence of God.
Amen.
And then they get out among their friends, like the Old Testament worshiper, going back to the fields, going back to the vineyards, whatever it was. He's not in his presence anymore.
Amen.
And now the same old temptation comes upon you, the same thing which caused you to overcome and to go up to Jerusalem to offer your sacrifice. You find the same temptation comes back again. And you're saying, but I don't want it to be like this. I don't have power to overcome this thing. And then you'd have to go with another lamb and go back, and it became the cycle that people would go through continually. Until after a while, if you keep doing that cycle, you'll end up doing it as a duty, and you'll lose the essence of what it was in the
beginning. Right.
And it's not the same, it doesn't bring the same results anymore. That's Old Testament worship. But you can have it under the New Covenant as well. That God can be in somebody in your family, be in somebody that you're associated with. And God within their veil is governing you, is helping you. Like when Jesus was the veil and he was watching over his disciples. God wasn't in the disciples.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so when Jesus wasn't there, things fell apart.
Mm.
The worlds fell apart. And that's why Jesus said, it's good for you. It's expedient for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, you're going to stay the way that you are. But if I go the way, my Father's going to send the comforter. He's going to send you the teacher. He's going to send you the advocate. He's going to send you the guide. He's going to send you the quickening power. He's going to send you the one that brings the real revelation of the word. The real power in prayer. He's going to send you power that you can become a son of God. And then when Jesus was crucified and he said, it's finished, the veil was rent in two. And God was saying, that dispensation of me being veiled from my sons and daughters is over.
Amen.
God is never satisfied with that.
Right.
He says, I don't dwell in temples made of stone. He says, a body hast thou prepared. He wants to dwell within your veil and my veil. That's the whole purpose of the new covenant. It's so that he can live in you and walk in you. He can be your God and you can be his people. That was the promise of the new covenant. And friend, when he comes within the veil, Jesus said, he is with you, but he shall be mine. Because he was with them, Jesus would teach them. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Jesus would guide them. Be careful of this. Jesus would say, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired you to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. But now the other side of Pentecost, when the veil was rent and they gathered in the upper room, and the day of Pentecost was fully come, then the dove came down upon 120 of them. And he remained. They were never the same after that. Now you could throw them in prison, they would worship in prison. You could put John on Patmos, he's going to be in the spirit of the Lord's day. There was an oil that was working from within. There was something that would purify, something that would sanctify, something that would lead and guide from within the veil. And that's what John was bearing record of when he saw the heavens open and he saw the dove descend and remain. He realized this is a new dispensation that's coming up. And friend, all we've got to do is fulfill all righteousness.
Amen. Amen.
We just play our part.
Amen.
Full obedience to the word entitles you to the token.
Amen.
Entitles you to the life of Christ itself.
Amen.
That same life that was in the bloodstream of Jesus when his blood was shed upon the earth and he said, Father, into your hands I command my spirit. That same life, that same dove that was dwelling inside of him comes and dwells inside of his body.
Yeah.
Comes and dwells inside of him. And friends, if you miss that, you've missed it all.
Amen.
You know, though we can speak with tongues of many languages and have not this, we never teach. That's what he says. It says, though we understand all mysteries, though we have faith that we can move mountains and have not this, we are nothing. It profits us nothing. Friend, it's that something when nobody else is around.
Amen.
It's that essence inside of you that when you're down and you think you're never going to get up again, something comes from within.
Amen.
It's an oil that works from within. No, when you feel about, I think I've just about had enough, and something kicks in at that time. When you don't feel like praying, then you start to pray, and then you finish your prayer.
Yeah,
and say, where did that come from?
Amen.
That's what you're speaking about.
Yes.
When you pick up your Bible and your mind is confused, yeah? And the devil's trying to tempt you. The devil's lying to you. And there's a wrong atmosphere all around you. And you start to worship and you start getting in the word. And the atmosphere starts to change. And you receive the sword of the Spirit now, which is the word of God.
Amen.
And the situation changes inside of your life. You didn't need some God within some other thing to come and minister to you in that situation. But the dove has descended and has remained.
Amen.
But it needs the new birth. Otherwise, it's just going to be a temporary something. Your speak of glory has gone by. I remember when I first received Christ, it was glorious.
Yep.
What's happened since then?
Yep.
Then you've lived a life which has been defeated and overcome ever since then. Surely your own Christian life bears record of the need that you have inside of your experience to receive the same something here, which Jesus himself, the Son of God himself, had to receive before he went out to be tempted of the devil. And this life is going to be one test after another.
Yes.
Amen. Because what you do is developing character inside of
us. Amen.
And character is a victory, it's not a gift.
Yes.
That's right.
The character is attained through overcoming.
Amen.
Through patience in trouble.
Amen.
The patiently persevering when it seems that all is against you. You and I don't have that inside of ourselves to do that.
Yes.
Now something's going to have to come and quicken us and strengthen us and give us the ability to do that each step of the way. And that's why it's such an important principle, this one of the Lamb and the Dove. You know, when the prophet preached the Holy Ghost series, and he preached on what is the Holy Ghost, and then you know, what is the first one, what is the Holy Ghost next one, what is the Holy Ghost, what is it given for? And then he had one in the middle which he never tapped. It was how to receive the Holy Ghost and how to know that you've received it.
Amen.
And if you go to the questions and answers immediately after, he tells a lot of what he preached. And you know what he preached? It was the Lamb and the Dove.
Amen.
He preached on the Lamb and the Dove. Why? How do you receive the Holy Ghost? And how do you know that you've received it? Friend, it's only a time test of something. Jesus was a time-tested memorial of God. And that's what God wants inside of our experiences. He wants our sister today to be a time-tested memorial of God. And the only way that can be is she's got to go beyond the baptism of water and she's got to go into the baptism of the Spirit. That's why John says, I baptize you with water, but the one who comes after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost in fire.
Amen.
That's the essence. That's the need, friends, the crying need of every single soul that's seeking to walk with God.
Mm.
Otherwise, it'll find you out. Head knowledge finds you out very quickly.
Amen.
In this Christian walk, head knowledge finds you out because the devil's not intimidated by your head knowledge.
That's right.
The sons of Sceva, they thought they could cast out devils through head knowledge. It didn't work.
Amen.
And they found it out in the time of trial when they were put to the test. They found out there wasn't something kicking at the time that it needed to kick in. And that's the grace of God. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with the Lord leading you to a situation to show you that you don't really have what it takes. That's the love of God.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to go fall right into the big ditch, so he allows you to fall a little bit to show that, my friend, you're not as strong as you thought that you were. You're not fully equipped. Your life isn't fully under the blood. But it's the grace of God. That's why it says, be zealous, therefore.
Amen.
Be zealous at that kind of a time. Don't be like the man who looks in the mirror and realizes, hey, you know, I don't have the full armor of God. And then you leave the mirror and you forget what you saw. And you don't get busy with other things and you don't fix the problem that was there. That's what James is telling us not to be. Don't be forgetful here. But if you see a weakness inside of your Christian experience, you need to focus on that. You need to seek the Lord to visit you in that place in your Christian experience. You need to seek His leadership in His word, His leadership in His message, to feed that part of your experience so that He can minister to that particular aspect of your experience exactly what it is that you need to overcome. And let's not forget, friends, when the Lord comes and speaks something, when He reveals something to you, He doesn't do it just for nothing.
No.
Whenever the Lord does something, there's a purpose.
Yes.
There's a desired purpose that He has. So if the Lord speaks to you about something, it means you're going to need it down the way.
Amen.
And if you don't catch it by revelation, you don't catch it as an experience that is required, you find yourself ill-equipped as the temptation comes.
Amen.
Because remember with Peter, when Jesus told him that the devil has desired you to sift you as wheat. He didn't see the importance of it. Remember when he said to the disciples, he said, look, the flesh is willing, but your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak.
Amen.
Watch ye therefore and pray.
Amen.
And then he thought, hey, we know Jesus is the messenger of the hour. He's always been there for us. We don't need to pray. Friend, when the word's telling you to pray, you better pray.
Yes. Amen.
When there's an emergency comes inside of your soul, and the Lord says, seek my face, seek His face.
Amen.
Because He knows why He's impressing you at that time.
Amen.
He's going to need to do something for you because He knows the hour of temptation is just
ahead.
Amen. But those disciples, they slept. But Jesus, being in the Spirit, He realized the seriousness of the hour. He didn't sleep that night.
Amen.
He was wrestling in prayer. An angel was strengthening him. There was a great spiritual transaction, a great overcoming that was taking place in heavenly places at that time, which was the great thing that was needed for him to fulfill the great part of his ministry that was just before him.
Amen.
It's going to be the same as you and I, friends. And when you find the Lord speaks to your soul, respond.
Amen.
That's all third seal. That's all the church has to do, is respond to the anointing.
Amen.
That's all that God expects us to do. When the anointing visits you, when the word speaks to you, when God impresses you inside of your soul, the greatest thing that you can do is just respond.
Amen.
Lay aside everything else. Yield yourself. Respond. Separate yourself if necessary. Fast and pray. Seek the face of God.
Amen.
When there's an urgency that comes inside of your soul, otherwise it will find you out down the way.
Amen.
It will find you out down the way. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, he always raises a standard to meet it.
Amen.
He always raises up something in the spiritual realm to meet that condition.
Amen.
And what is our duty as the bride? The woman responds to the man.
Amen.
The husband initiates, and the woman, she responds.
Amen.
That's all that He wants us to do. He will initiate what's required to help us in step of the way, but it's up to us to respond.
Amen.
It's up to us to respond. But friend, it's so difficult to respond if the dove isn't there. You go and read the Song of Solomon. You see the good intentions that Shunammite woman had. But it says, the voice of my beloved, he came and he knocked on the door, but she was slumbering on her bed and she didn't rise up and open the door to him. And then when she rose up and went to open the door, my beloved is God. Now she had to come try to seek her beloved. She never took advantage of the time when he was there, when his presence was there.
Amen.
She was slumbering at that time.
Amen.
She should have shaken herself and said, when my beloved speaks to me, when he visits me, there's a very specific purpose in things.
Amen.
Friend, he doesn't always visit you in particular ways. But there's certain seasons of visitation that you feel it inside of your soul. That I need to see God at this time. There's something that checks you inside of yourself. There's that warning that comes inside of yourself. Sometimes you can see the way that things are progressing inside of your Christian life. Like we're saying on Friday, you can see a decline. You've departed from where you were. You've fallen from something. Now then you come to a stage, a realization dawns upon you, and you look at where you were, you look at where you are, and there's a seriousness comes upon you to say, but hey, if I keep doing things the way that I'm, where's this going to end up? Where's this going to end up?
Amen.
Friend, and at that kind of a time, you've got to respond.
Yes.
You've got to meet the challenge. You've got to rise
Amen.
up. If it means getting up early in the morning, if it means sleeping late at night, whatever that it is in those kind of junctions, those kind of seasons, when it comes and speaks inside of your soul, the greatest thing that you can do is just yield yourself to
Hallelujah.
Him. Amen.
And just listen to Him and seek His face. It says in Psalms, David said, it says, Lord, when you said, seek my face, my heart said, thy face will I see.
Hallelujah.
It's a blessed thing to do. It's a blessed thing to follow His voice. And that's why the dove, if you look inside of the Bible, it was a bird of sacrifice. It was offered for sacrifice. Look in Genesis 15. Let's take this one from under the wings of a snow white dove, just to show another principle once again. How it's not sufficient in your own experience just to have the sacrifice of the lamb. You need to also have the turtle dove. You need to have the pigeon. You have the Holy Ghost in your experience. We can have the word, but without the spirit, it's not going to really help us.
That's right.
You know, they can see that with Abraham. Genesis 15. Let's have a look there just to see about this great confirmation of the covenant when the Lord came down. In Genesis 15, the Lord now wanted to confirm to Abraham the covenant. He had made great promises to Abraham. But Abraham was asking a question, saying, Lord, how shall I know that these things will come to pass? And the Lord's going to show him in Genesis 15 the requirement for him to know that those things were going to come to pass. There were certain things that needed to take place. And it says it in verse 8. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Now, as a message believer, you want to ask yourself, how do I know I'm going to be in the rapture? How do I know I'm going to receive the greater promises? You know, the Lord's visiting me, and then Abraham said, but Lord, you're giving me these promises, but how shall I know that I'm going to receive these promises? That's what he's asking the Lord.
Amen.
He's given an inheritance, a promise of an inheritance, his seed line. And he's asking the Lord, how do I know that I'm going to receive this promise? And the Lord says to him, verse 9, and he said to him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. It's always spirit and truth. That's what it is.
Amen.
It's always that. Friend, you can have the greatest sacrifice that was ever made, which is when Christ died on Calvary. God can bring that sacrifice to you. But friend, you've got to have the dove in your experience as well. You've got to. There's got to be a certain atmosphere. There's got to be a certain attitude towards what God has done for you.
Amen.
There's got to be a certain something in your approach to what God has done. And the Lord says to him, he says, take these things. You take these animals and sacrifice them. Take these, the dove and the pigeon. These, they must also be included in this. And then there's a part that Abraham had to do. And he took him all these, verse 10. And divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided him not. Verse 11. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. So while he was waiting, Abraham's done what he can do. Yeah? Abraham takes the sacrifice, puts it exactly the way the Lord told him to do. But while he's waiting for the Lord to come and confirm the covenant, this is where many people fall short. They go to the waters of baptism. Yeah? They take God and His word, and now they've got the oath, they've got their sacrifice. They now need God to come and confirm the covenant. They need God to come and cook and do something to them. But in between the time when the sacrifice is made and the time that God wants to come now in the pillar of fire to come and confirm the covenant, they don't keep the fowls off the sacrifice.
Amen.
Because there's a season there, friends.
Amen.
Many
Amen.
Times there's a season of temptation. There's a season that you've got to go through testing. And you find many people, they sincere and genuine where they're baptized, but they never go all the way.
Right.
They never go all the way. You know, when it seems to be lingering a little bit, you know, God isn't really giving them the promise the way that they thought, or in the time frame that they thought that it would. They start watching over the sacrifice. And now all of a sudden you find those old birds start to come back once again, those old fowls. You know, those old thoughts, those old dirty thoughts, those old dirty habits and customs, they start to come back and bother you again. There's nothing wrong with them coming, but don't let them come upon your sacrifice.
Amen.
That's how Abraham drove them away from the sacrifice.
Amen.
And says, and then when the sun was gone down,
and deep sleep fell upon Abraham. And you know how the prophet explains that the Lord's going to show him that Abraham, this covenant, I'm going to put you to sleep.
Yes.
This is an unconditional grace covenant. Until great darkness comes upon him, and the horror of a great darkness. He also says that types death and hell. That Abraham should have died and gone to hell. But God is showing him that I've saved you by a covenant of grace. It's a covenant of grace. And then he gives him a promise. Verse 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. This is where now you come to the covenant of the old Eastern traditions. Yeah, if somebody wanted to make a covenant, you wanted to make a solemn agreement with somebody, you would take a sacrifice. You'd sacrifice that beast, divide it in two. And you and the person you are making a covenant with would stand in the middle of the covenant. As if to say, if I don't keep my part of the covenant, let me be as this beast.
Amen.
So that was how the covenant was made in those days, a solemn covenant. And God says, take the sacrifice, divide it, and then God himself passes right the way through the middle of the covenant.
Yeah.
It's an important principle. And it says, in that same day, the Lord God made a covenant with Abraham. Now, well, how does it apply to us? How does it apply to us? God came down as the man. The dove came down upon him on Jordan. God tested him 3.5 years, tested him, and found that he is a spotless lamb. He was tested by the priest. He was examined by the priest. He went through everything that he had to go through. Then finally he was taken to Calvary and he was rent on Calvary. Yeah. And the life went out of him. And then on the day of Pentecost, that same life that was in him came back down upon the worshiper. And the only way that you will know that you are part of the covenant is if the same life that was in him is also in you.
Amen.
You've got to be the matching piece. It speaks of the Chinese laundry. How they would, you know, the Chinaman couldn't write your name, so what he used to do is to take a piece of paper and tear it in a certain way, and he'd give you that part of the as a guarantee of the transaction. And then you would come back now and you'd give it to the Chinaman because you want to get your goods. And he would go and he'd find the matching piece, and you know that belongs to you. You couldn't counterfeit that in any way.
Yes, that's right.
And that's what the dove is.
Amen.
That is what the nature of the lamb and the dove coming to experience is. It now proves that you are matching pieces.
Amen.
That what went up above and what's in you, those two things exactly match.
Amen. Amen.
Now ask yourself, how does that work in reality? Now, friend, if you are a matching piece, if you really have the genuine dove inside of you, your soul will agree with the message of the hour.
Yes.
Amen.
It's impossible for your soul to disagree with the message of the hour.
Amen.
If you are a matching piece to him who is the word himself.
Amen.
If there's things in the message you don't agree with, certain things that you fight against, certain things you don't like, you don't have the dove inside of you.
Amen.
Because the dove, when it was inside of him, he's the word. The dove comes inside of you. You're going to love the same things he loves.
Amen.
You're going to be
Amen.
In harmony with him inside of yourself. Yes, the outward man's not going to agree with those kind of things. But it's the condition of your heart.
Amen.
It's the attitude, what's inside of the veil, the atmosphere that's inside of you. That's how you will know. You will really perfectly agree with his word.
Amen.
You agree with his word. And that's why it says when he, the Spirit of truth, is come.
Yes.
Yeah? That's the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Is you will agree, you will walk in harmony with the message of your day.
Yes.
With Jesus Christ, the same essence and truth, because the life Amen. That was in him is now inside of you. And that life inside of you is going to bear record and going to bear witness. It may be hard what he's asking you to do. The word may sometimes come and step right on your toes. Your flesh may rebel, but your soul will say amen.
Amen.
Your soul will say that's nothing but the truth, my sister Hachira. There might be something which is hard for people to believe, but your soul will believe it. Your soul will bear record inside of you that this is God. This is Jesus Christ in your sake.
And that's how all these people are claiming to have the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they reject water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a scriptural requirement of the world. How can it be? You know, people into all manner of things contrary to the word. Then they claim they've received the dove, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No, it can't be. Because that dove is going to be a matching piece. It's going to be a record with what God is doing in your day. You're going to recognize Christ in your angel. You're going to recognize exactly what his program is. And as you follow him and take up your cross, he's going to lead you now to take your part to fulfill that program. That's what the dove is there for. And that's why, like I said, the message, the lamb and the dove, it's such an important message. But how does your soul come into the right condition? As we said, when you're born, your soul, the real you, is dormant. It's a seed in you. Right from before the foundation of the world, God has predestinated that something inside of you. But for that to become a nature, because now you're born with another nature. You're born with a carnal nature. You're born with a selfish nature. You're born with a nature that loves the world and the things of the world. It's just natural for your nature to love that. What is the very thing that happens inside of somebody to change that? He tells us in Souls That Are in Prison Now, he says, when he can get your nature to agree with his nature, your nature will die.
Amen.
So that means the revelation of Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes and reveals himself to you, when he comes and unveils himself to you, and inside of yourself there's how great thou art.
Amen.
That's the changing. But the revelation of Jesus Christ brings the new birth. That's what brings the new birth. When he reveals himself to your soul, your soul comes to life. That's when your soul recognizes who it really is. It's the eagle in the chicken yard. And it shares its mother's voice when it sees the reflection of itself in the great eagle, its mother. And it looks around at the chickens and says, hey, I'm not like them. But now it finds something it identifies itself with. And when that cry goes forth, there's something wakens inside of it, which was always there, but never woke up. And friend, that really, really starts the whole process of the change of nature. Now you will start to reflect your real nature. Now you will start to manifest your real name.
Amen.
That name that was recorded on the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll start now to manifest that.
Amen.
It's a total different manifestation inside of it.
Amen.
You don't have to force it, my friend.
Amen.
Nobody has to force it for you.
Amen.
You just need to keep drinking
and
pushing up. Drinking and pushing up. You just need to keep yourself in his presence.
Amen.
You just need to keep abiding in him and feeding upon him. And that is going to express itself as sure as the world. Jeremiah is going to be a prophet to the nations, ordained from his mother's womb. John the Baptist is going to be Elijah, receiving the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Each of those predestined in their season. And the revelation, when he visits that soul, reveals himself, that soul now starts to really express itself. And friends, there's things we can do to help the process, and there's things we can do to hinder the process.
Yes.
Now, the greatest thing that you can do is yield.
Amen.
You know what the word surrender means? A voluntary attitude of giving in.
Amen.
That's the greatest thing. When you find a believer struggling to move from a trial or temptation they're going through, it's always one cause. They're not giving in.
Yes.
I've seen it so many times. Someone will be wrestling with something. Something will be hindering them in their walk. Something will be holding them back from blessing. They were making good ground, but something's coming now and has hindered them. As we said on Friday, you did run well. Who did hinder you?
Amen.
Something's coming, and many times God is trying to get them to overcome something in themselves.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
But the problem in that situation, instead of looking within, looking in the mirror of the world to see what the problem is inside of their life, they look without. They use the five senses. They use their reasoning. They blame other people. They blame this, blame that, blame the other.
Amen.
And no matter how much you blame, you're never going to find the satisfaction. You're never going to find the overcoming.
Amen.
The victory. The character that comes through overcoming that thing until you recognize God is testing you.
Yes. Amen.
That you are the focus of the trial, not the rest of the people that are allowed to be in the trial with you.
Amen.
And those people may all be guilty.
Yes.
Every point you're making about your situation may be perfectly valid.
Mm. Yes, sir.
But she said this against me. Yep. He did this. I'm not happy with this. This shouldn't be like that. All of those things may be totally true. But that's not what the trial is really about.
Amen.
If you give quiet before the Lord, your own soul will bear record of that.
Amen.
But we resist and we kick and we allow the old, the outer man now to govern us in those kind of times. Instead of submitting ourselves. Instead of having a voluntary act in self-assessment, but Lord, I've wrestled with this long enough.
Amen.
I love that story that he tells about his son when he couldn't put his jacket on. That's helped you so many times. Now when you find your little child is struggling to put on its jacket, put on its coat, and it wants to do it itself. And then it's trying to put its arm inside. It's trying to, find its way to get past the frustration that it's in. That little child just gets more and more frustrated as time goes on. It's okay, try yourself. I mean, you come now as dad or you come as mom and you say, let me help you with that. No. Eventually that child gets to the point where it's heading up. And this is daddy, please. That's a voluntary act of giving in. Then you'll do what you want us to do. Then you'll take its little arm and you'll put it in the sleeve and you put the other sleeve. And the little child, if it's good in his sense, will say, but I didn't do that a long time ago.
Amen.
And friend, that's the mystery behind many of the trials that believers are going through now.
Amen.
He's waiting for you to give in.
Amen.
He's waiting for you to say, I can't do this myself, Papa. Please put my arm in the sleeve.
Amen.
And that's overcoming yourself. That's the greatest act of overcoming.
Yes. Amen.
Now, Napoleon overcame the world, but he couldn't overcome himself.
Amen.
People can overcome great things. But a real child of God can overcome themselves.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the key, my friend. Overcoming yourself. So no matter what you're going through, if you'll just keep quiet, stop it. The Bible says, lean not unto your own understanding.
Amen.
Don't reason about your situation. Get quiet before Him and say, Lord, what does this mean? What is the voice behind this? What are you trying to teach me in this situation? There's always a lesson.
That's right.
God is not random in what He does. God doesn't waste the time, the resources of His sons and His daughters. Everything that He puts you through, there's something taking place spiritually in that.
Amen.
There's something He wants to achieve. There's a divine purpose behind that situation.
Amen.
And the quicker you find that, the easier it's going to be.
Right.
That's why it says you help God and you help yourself.
Amen.
And by just finding that purpose and submitting yourself to that purpose. But in the end, if you're not careful, it becomes the death walk.
Yes.
You'll say, okay, I've had enough of this. And you try to ignore that situation. You tell you like. So you go all around trying to find your own solution. I know my way. Nobody has to tell me what to do. I know I'm right in this situation. Everybody else is wrong. Let me tell you, as a son and daughter of God, when you think you're right and everybody's wrong, you're the one that's wrong.
Amen.
God is in His body.
Amen.
If you find a whole lot of sons and daughters of God feel about you in a certain way, I'm telling you that's a reflection of what's happening up there. Because the mercy seat is in His bride.
Amen.
If you still feel mercy for somebody, God feels mercy for
them. Amen.
If the body feels mercy for someone, there's mercy for them.
Amen.
But woe unto a man when the body of Christ loses the feeling for somebody. Because that's a reflection of a heavenly truth.
Amen.
You wouldn't want it to be like that. So when you think you're right and everybody else is wrong, in the bride, pray. It's a guarantee you've got the equation upside down.
Amen.
It's a guarantee. And you'll go on your death walk. I can find my own way. And the longer you go, the darker it becomes.
Amen.
The longer you go, the more foggy it becomes in your vision. More foggy it becomes in your experience. And then after a while, you've gone for weeks and weeks. Okay, now I think I'm getting somewhere. And you're back to the side. And there's your deer hanging in the tree once again.
Amen.
and we don't have too many days and times to waste in this life.
Amen.
This is only one life, and soon it's past. Only what's done right for Christ will last. As quick as we can learn these lessons, the better. Because it's trying to move us on to the next stage inside of our experience. But if you keep coming back to the same place, there's a voice behind that. Remember, there was a voice that was trying to speak to him to say, I'm an ever-present help in that time of trouble. But he wasn't listening to the voice in that experience that he was in. Oh, friend, that voice is a precious voice.
Amen.
But sometimes, like the quotes that were sent out on the floor, we've got to get still to hear his voice, because it's a still, small voice. And then when the voice of our reason, the voice of our passions, the voice of our frustration is so loud, we can't hear his voice. But if you can just get yourself to that place, then when I got still, he came to me there.
Amen.
And that's when he revealed these things. It's a precious thing.
Amen.
And the other truth, which is such a foundational truth, is the reaction to an action.
Amen.
Such an important truth.
Hallelujah.
Whatever happens to inside of your life, God is testing your reaction.
Amen.
He may have to use an unclean vessel. He may have to use a sinful person. He may have to allow the devil to anoint people. But those circumstances that he's allowed is to test you as his son and his daughter.
Amen.
He's testing your reaction to a situation.
Amen.
You know, the father said to the tutor, I want to see if my son is going to handle the situation the way that I handled the situation. So, put him to the trial. Let him be in charge of this field. Let him be in charge of whatever. Let's see if he'll handle it the same way that I handled it. And then the pressure comes on. And the tutor inside of himself, he so much wants you to act the right way. No, he'll be there saying, if only you can do it, just do it the right way. He wants you to act like your father. And then when you don't do it, you can see the disappointment. And he goes back to the father, and the father says, how's my son doing? How's my daughter doing? I put them in a trial. I allowed other believers not to understand me. I allowed problems in the home, sickness in the body, trouble in the family. I allowed, you know, whatever it is, fusses and stews, whatever that it is, I allowed it to come. How did they react? There's still work that needs to be done.
Amen.
And he takes you from there for a season, encourages you to do a little bit, and he brings you down to the basic place.
Yep.
Exactly. Because you can't go any further.
Yes,
you've learned that lesson.
Amen.
And God doesn't take a lot of shortcuts in his economy.
Yes.
If you've got to go through the bitter waters of Mara, you've got to go through Mara.
Amen.
If you've got to go through Elam, you've got to go through Elam. If you've got to cross the Jordan at a certain place, that's the place that you're going to cross the Jordan.
Amen.
He may have to lead you around for a while until you learn the lesson. But friend, the greatest thing that you can do is surrender.
Hallelujah.
And that's why a lamb, the nature of a lamb is to give in. To every born-again son or daughter of God, the potential is in you now. The capacity.
Amen.
You can give in.
Amen.
You can. But you've got to desire it yourself.
Amen.
It's got to be an act of your will. To surrender is a willing giving. It's you willingly giving. You've got to come to the stage yourself to say, Father, I've wrestled.
Hallelujah.
But now not my will.
Amen.
But your will today.
Amen.
Lord, let it be done your way. Lord, let me understand what it is that you want me to learn. Friend, that already explained. I've learned that in my own experience. It explains so many frustrations that you go through. Whenever you get to a place of frustration, you're failing to learn the lesson.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Whenever you get to a place that you feel it's too much for you, yeah, the precious building that's about to burst, you've missed a turn somewhere.
Hallelujah.
Everybody was trying to find his way out when he was in the death walk. He says, I missed my turn. There was a certain junction that he missed, and he ended up back where he was. And you'll find in your trials, God will always give you a way of escape.
That's right.
There'll always be a certain place that when you look back afterwards, you say, well, if I'd have responded at that time, if I'd have understood, if I'd have paid attention to what he was saying at that time,
amen,
I wouldn't have had to go through this whole process.
Amen.
Like this. But he has two wills. He has his perfect will and he has his permissive will. His perfect will, the revelation of his will to your soul. That's God's perfect will. To direct and lead you, he'll lead you by his word, by his spirit, quickened word. That's God's perfect will. But if you don't want to follow the word, he's got other ways. You're sleeping with the brothers yesterday. But God has many ways of getting his children to the right place. We'll finish with this thought. Yeah? He's got plagues.
Mm-hmm.
He's got trumpets.
Mm-hmm.
Vials. He's got many things in his economy. When Solomon wouldn't listen to the Lord, what would the Lord do? Raise up enemies against him. If you want to hear the voice of God, the way he's speaking to you, God has many, many ways of getting your attention.
Amen.
You'll find trouble at work.
Mm. Yes, sir.
Conflict at work. Life becomes a nightmare for you on your job. There's a voice behind that trial.
Amen.
Because when Israel was in Europe, the Jews were in Europe, they didn't want to go to the promised land. When those rabbis were rising up after the pogroms in Russia, those prophetic rabbis, if you read history, were telling them, we need to go to Palestine. They said, no. And they went into Germany. And they said, it's okay. Life is good for us here. But God will never allow his sons and daughters to be satisfied outside of his will. But because they didn't listen to the revelation of the word, what did God have to do? Had to raise up wounds. Yeah. To drive the sheep back to the ship. That was the trumpets. He had to allow strife and turmoil and persecution to come. And that was the tender hand of Jehovah. That was God bringing his children to the place they were supposed to. It didn't have to be like that, friends. There was another way which they could have gone. It's the same as you and I. That time when he should have gone with the Pentecostal people, like Mishawaka. And he didn't listen when the seal was opened to him. The next stage in his ministry, what happened? He says, plagues hit my home.
Amen.
He said, the plagues came in. Trouble hit his home. God trying to get our attention. But nothing happens inside of your life without there being a voice behind it if you're willing to listen to them.
Amen.
Nothing happens. And all that he wants us to do is become lambs in him.
Amen.
To allow the dove to lead us. And you look at the life of Jesus. He had perfect peace.
Amen.
The only thing that troubled his peace was your sin and mine.
Amen.
When his soul was made a sin offering for us, that's when he lost his peace. That's when he says, now is my heart troubled. Now am I troubled nigh unto death. But his entire life, he lived a life of perfect faith. Perfect peace. Perfect rest. In the midst of a storm, he could sleep in the back of a boat. Why? He was humble. He stays there.
Amen.
The lamb and the dove went on. My friends, with you and I, when does our peace leave us? When does the confusion come in? It's when we're no longer lambs anymore. We want to do our way. When we think we know better. When we think, oh, this is the way the things need to be done. Oh, friends, the lamb and the dove. I recommend that you once again listen to all those messages.
Amen.
They're so important. They seem to be so simple, but it's the simplicity that makes it so powerful. It's the principle that is being taught. God, the important things, he makes sure they're simple. Because he doesn't want his sons and daughters to miss them. That principle. So as our sister comes for baptism today, that's our prayer for her. Yeah. The real, genuine new birth inside of his soul. That just as much as the Lord has visited her and has already delivered her from a lot of the weaknesses she had inside of her life, has changed her already, and she's coming to testify of that by being baptized before us. We pray that heavens will be open and that the dove will come down and abide and remain inside of her soul.
Amen.
That there will be a something already allow that real nature that God has ordained her to be to really come forth and express itself. That God will equip her today with all that's required, that as she'll go back now to her home, go into the wilderness to be tempted and to be tested, that God will really give her something in experience to equip her, to strengthen her, to give her all that she needs, that she may be an overcomer.
Amen.
That she may be a real daughter of God. A time-tested memorial in this age. And I'm sure every one of us is witnesses. That is our obligation now.
Hallelujah.
To pray for her. That God will take her all the way. That she will die to self. She'll take up the cross. And that Christ will be glorified in her.
Amen.
I'm sure that's your desire.
Amen.
That's my desire. Let's sing. Let's sing a song, the saints. Let's sing that song. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Amen.
It's wonderful to think back to the day you made it. Sweet day, happy day. You can sit up. We thank the Lord for it. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Rewrote my life.
I have decided to follow Jesus. Now it's that decision that makes a difference.
Amen.
I want to bring everybody here today. Is there somebody here that hasn't made that decision? But today you wanted to make that decision. Now the next song said, "Mercy rewrote my life." Now if you sing the verses, it says, "My sins were forgiven. A new name was written." Not in heaven, but you'll start to manifest something different inside of your life.
Amen.
Maybe you're tired of your old life. You're tired of the way that you've been living. There's no satisfaction inside of your soul. There's no purpose in your life. There's an emptiness. There's something deep down inside which you've tried a lot of things, but it just can't fill. And today you've heard about Jesus. You've heard about the great Lamb who died for you so that the dove could come and remain. The sweetness of His presence, the sweetness of His love, the sweetness of who Jesus Himself is, His life, to come and live inside of you.
Him.
And you want Him that too. And you wanted to make a decision to say, if I've got to take up my cross, so be it. But I want this inside of my life. I want to know Him. I want that something inside of me that can make me live the life that I'm supposed to live. You might be a young person and you've been in the fringes of the message for a long time. Now you might know a lot of things, but you know this one thing inside of yourself, that you don't have what it takes.
Amen.
When the great day of trial or temptation comes, and today you really, really want to get down to business with God. And you really wanted to speak to Him and say, "Lord, I'm tired of this. I want that something that's real. Why should I be satisfied with something that's not genuine? When Jesus, you died to give me that which is genuine." If that's your condition, you need to reach out and touch the Lord. You need to pray yourself. You need to come and lay upon the altar of your heart whatever it is that is burdening you inside of your soul. And you need to speak to Him. And you need to get down to business and say, "Jesus, You've been watching me all these years. You've been protecting me. You've been keeping me. You've been guiding me in so many things. But Jesus, there's a place that I've never got to in You. I don't want to get there." Whatever your desire, saints, today, why don't you just bring ourselves before the Lord before we come to the baptism. Speak to the Lord. Reach out and touch it. If you're frustrated inside of your life, if you've got your place where you've been going around that mountain for far too long, why not ask Him today and say, "Jesus, what is Your provided way of escape?
Amen.
Lord, what is Your voice behind this trial? Master, what are You trying to teach me? I've been going round and around on the potter's wheel. Surely, Lord, it's come to a time for me to move on to other things. But obviously I'm not learning the lesson that You want me to learn." Just lay yourself before Him, and I guarantee He will speak to you. And He'll show you the very thing that He's been trying to show you all along. And all that He wants you to do is to respond to Him. All that He wants is a voluntary attitude of giving Him. He just wants an act of overcoming inside of yourself, so that you overcome yourself. That's what it all means. That's what it all distills down to. He wants you to overcome yourself.
Amen.
And if you're focused on that, and then Him come deal with you faithfully inside of your soul, as we spoke about on Friday, there'll be a turning point. There'll be a from that time. Today will be a from that time. And things will change. Let's speak to Him, saints, before we come to the baptism. Let's all pray in Jesus' name.
Oh, I'm
Let's open the book of Acts, Saints. Let's Acts chapter 2. Let's read Acts chapter 2 as we come to water baptism. Let's have a look at Dr. Peter's prescription on the day of Pentecost. Let's read Acts 2, verse 37 and 13, up to 39. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's a blessed promise, isn't it? Has the Lord called you? Did He call you from your past life? Did He call you out of your sin? Was there a deep that ministered to the deep in you? The promises unto you. The fullness of all His promises, that's what He's leading you to gather into. No matter your situation, you might say like those men, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And the answer is the same thing. Just search your life. Just repent. Just put everything under the blood. And He will give you power. As many as receive Him, to them He gives power to become the sons and daughters of God. And you'll say, what power does the Holy Ghost bring? You know, the Holy Ghost series said it brings power in speech. It says you may never know how to say anything to someone about Jesus, but you get the Holy Ghost in your life and see how He will give you the words to say. It says He gives you power in prayer. Because maybe you never had a prayer answered all your life. You just get the Holy Ghost and see how you can prevail like Jacob with holy prayer. He says, and He gives power to live a holy life. When you couldn't overcome sin before, He will put something inside of your experience. That before, when you couldn't say no, at that crucial juncture of temptation, you'll now have power to say no. And that's what the Holy Ghost was given for. What a blessing, and how we thank the Lord for His grace. Is our sister ready to baptize? Does she need to go and change? She's ready to go. Let's sing a chorus by George as we go for baptism in Jesus' name.
And renew the right spirit within
to the scripture, you fulfill the requirements for baptism. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your house shall be saved.
It's a blessing.
So we're so glad to baptize our sister Helena. We ask her in water.
Yes.
It's called Mommy. We told her it was going to be called by a man. So it took a bicycle. So we're so glad. We said you'll never forget this day.
Even as long as they got there.
Amen. You okay?
No.
Just a minute. Yes. Just a minute. Okay. We should have warmed it a bit more for
No.
But we're putting you in the tomb. We're putting you in the grave. Old life is passing away.
No.
In your soul. That's what we believe. Through your repentance. So we'll bury you in baptism in Jesus' name. Are you ready? Okay. I know what it's like. Sister, because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we gladly baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. For our sister Helena, Lord.
Amen.
Father, she's a trophy of your grace.
Amen.
Many things, Lord. I ask and pray, Father, that this wonderful work that you begin,
yes, Lord,
even according to the sure promise of your word,
amen,
you said that he that has begun the good work in you,
amen,
shall be faithful to complete.
Yes,
Father, we pray that you would fill our sister with your glory.
Amen.
We pray even now, Lord, that the Shekinah glory, Lord, the same one that dwelt between the wings of the cherubim,
amen,
the same one that dwelt in our Lord and Savior,
yes,
Jesus Christ,
yes,
the same one that came down on the day of Pentecost,
amen,
the
amen
same one that every believer here can testify of,
amen,
Lord.
Amen.
Father, may that same glory enter into its dwelling place upon this
day. Yes,
Father, may you give our sister power, Lord,
amen,
Father,
amen,
over all the powers of the enemy, we pray.
Amen.
And as you go back to Poland, Lord, we pray that you'd watch over. We pray that you'd protect her.
Please,
we pray that you'd guide her footsteps, guide her in fellowship.
Amen.
Guide in your word, Lord. Teach her, we pray.
Yes.
Father, Lord, let your hand be upon her life. How we curse the enemy, Lord.
Amen.
Any power of darkness that would desire to linger inside of her life, Lord.
Amen.
In your precious name, Lord, we bring the power of the blood.
Amen.
We bring the power of your name between her and the enemy, Lord. And Father, we bind every work of the enemy.
Yes.
May you bless her, even upon this day. May you bless her sons that are here.
Please,
Lord, may you continue to lead them and guide them as well. Father, happy day. We're so glad for your grace. We're so glad for your goodness, Lord. Bless our sister with your richest blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just saying that she's very, very happy.
Amen.
She says the Lord is really with me, and she really thanks
the Lord.
Amen.
He shall be
other people are saying, don't come, Lord, I want to get married first. Lord, I need to buy a house. No. He's prepared a mansion for you.
Amen.
Let's finish off with that one. This announcement on Friday evening, it's St. Patrick's Day, we'll have communion service at 6. So let's come to the house of the Lord and the Lord bless us as we come to have a communion service. Then in speaking with the saints after outreach yesterday, it was a real blessed time yesterday. It was something different yesterday, I'm sure the saints will say. So really thought maybe to do it again in a fortnight. So we'd really encourage anybody who wasn't there yesterday, let's be in prayer. May the Lord guide us and lead us weekend after next on the Saturday again to get out for some outreach. May the Lord help us to bring in the sheep.
Amen.
So let's keep going to prayer. So let's keep Brother Max in prayer as he comes back. Brother Andres and family away. They should be back this week. Let's pray for them as well. It's been so nice to be with Brother Tom, Brother Thomas, and with his mum, our sister. May the Lord really bless them. They go back on Tuesday. May the Lord keep them even as they go. Let's sing one more song. We'll ask Brother Tom if you come close to us and word of prayer could be kind of. I wouldn't ask Brother Greg, because Brother Greg's too soft in his heart when he starts praying. It's good. Stay like that, brother. Let's sing one more if you go to one of the. Let's sing that one. Because you've chosen the harder way, the narrow way, a huge portion of that. So we ask Brother to close to us.
Because you have chosen the narrow path, the hardest way, there's a great portion of heaven is waiting for you. Of what you decided, that was the prophecy. The angel told to the great messenger.
Coming to meet us.
Oh, I
Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time. Thank you for today's service, Friday service, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in us, Lord. And we thank you for this work, for the trials you gave us to overcome ourselves, Lord. We thank you for yesterday's day, Lord, and Carlo. We thank you for testifying to the people that you were in us. And you, we could say, Lord, about this Christianity they never heard of, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you help our brothers to keep on going, Lord, to produce, Lord, what it's done for today. And please keep them, Lord, and I pray to you to help them. And we thank you for today's baptism, for the answer of our prayers, Lord, about our mom. We thank you for that. Please help her to keep going on this way she chose. And please keep us in safely, Lord, when we will be on our way back on Tuesday. So we thank you for this, and bless everyone that's in here, Lord, when we were be going to our homes. So please, Lord, help us. We need you, Lord, and your blessings, Lord, on the way. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I have heard of Christians long ago. They were born before the tyrant's throne. They were told that he was never last. If that word the name of God, but one by one they chose to die for the Son of God. They would go on the 29 like a dread and jail by a sea, like a noble sea, their voices. Yeah.
I was blind, but my face, I can't agree.